flavor is everywhere.
From text to mechanics,
spicy pulls,
salty plays,
the sweet taste of victory,
and the bitter sting of defeat.
It can lead to sour faces
and umami friendships.
But all these flavors bring people together
for a gathering,
a potluck of creativity, skill, and above all,
magic.
And welcome to Flavor Profiles. I'm Matt.
And I'm Nat.
And this is our first new episode of 2024. And what better time than winter than to discuss snow, or in the case of our show, frozen food, as we look into snow-based lands, creatures that have peppered their way through magic. Do you have any favorite snow creatures that you like to use, Nat? Or favorite recipes you like to cook up during the winter?
I'm a simple person. I do appreciate a good frozen meal, like a good TV dinner, you know, for those days you just like don't want to cook. But like some of the best foods are frozen too, like ice cream.
Oh, very true. Ice cream is possibly one of the best if you can handle the dairy. But there is also something just timeless about a good like microwavable meal. But you might want to check for any metal before you throw that into the microwave, because much like the Golgothian Silex blast that started the Ice Age, it might create a spark and not the kind that will let you planeswalk.
Yeah, we don't want any house fires, do we, Matt?
I have no idea what you were talking about. That is all last year, and no one is cooking upstairs currently.
New year, new me.
Exactly. And better New Year, New Me than New Year, New House because of insurance.
The frozen side of magic. What's that about?
It has a long history, but not a lot to show for it in a way. So snow-covered lands first appeared in Ice Age back in 1996, which was the last set I played before I quit Magic originally. And what's interesting is for sort of snow as a super type as we would know it today, for a set called Ice Age, there were really only five cards, and it was five basic lands. None of the cards in that set were snow creatures, snow artifacts, and so on and so forth. But several of the cards were both pro snow and hate snow. For example, Avalanche, which was red, two mountains and X, and you could destroy X target snow covered lands. Or Woolly Mammoths, one and two green, you could summon mammoths. Wonderful art by Dan Fraser, by the way, and gain trample as long as you control any snow-covered lands. What was interesting, kind of looking into the origin of a lot of the snow-based cards and magic, is, I mean, back with Ice Age, they still had blocks going. And the Ice Age block officially took place over a decade, so not in one year. The first set was Ice Age in 96, and it was followed by Alliances in that same year. But the official third part of that block didn't come around until 2016, I want to say. And that was when Cold Snap came out, or 2006.
I was going to say 2016. I'm pretty sure Cold Snap was older than that.
Anyone who has listened to me over the past three episodes has known that I, you know, plus or minus a decade on most years.
Yeah. Yeah, we got Cold Snap. Yeah.
Cold Snap was what I want to say created the official snow super type.
Yeah.
And reimagined it, really gave us snow creatures, gave us the ability to tap a snow mana, gave us the snow mana symbol, a little snowflake. Mm-hmm. And then it would start coming back a little bit more. We had it in Future Sight, Commander 2019, Modern Horizons, which also gave us the first full art basics, mm-hmm. and Kaldheim.
Yeah, we have Modern Horizons 3 coming out this year. I'm curious to see if they're going to bring back snow permanence. We didn't see any in Modern Horizons 2, really.
The last newer set I want to say we saw anything in was, I think it was Jumpstart 2022 with mm-hmm. Issu the Abominable, mm-hmm. Mr. Bumble in Magic card form for those Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer fans.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, that was kind of like a little side thing, but Kaldheim was 2021. That'll have been 3 years ago by this point.
Which is hard to believe that Kaldheim in most sets feel both further away and closer than they really are sometimes.
Yeah.
Kaldheim was sort of rotating out when I came back into Magic. And it was kind of neat that the set I came back to showed me snow was still around. Of course, I didn't know that it was only in a handful of sets in between, but it was familiar from when I last experienced the game.
Yeah. So in my opinion, I feel like we're overdue for snow.
Well, I mean, we are, because it's been kind of a mild winter off and on the past few years, but that's besides the case.
But, you know, I feel like putting one creature into Jumpstart 2022 is, you know, but like Kaldheim, like I said, that was 3 years ago. That was the last time we really had like snow permanence. Mm-hmm.
There seemed to be an opportunity for it with Wilds of Eldraine almost, with Hilda of the Icy Crown, mm-hmm. and a lot of the mechanics where you could sort of tap down creatures almost like Frozen.
Oh, like the stun counter, you mm-hmm. know, tapping down. Yeah, that would have been some good flavor.
It kind of made me think of the lack of battles in Lord of the Rings that we touched on a little briefly. It's an interesting mechanic. It's a very subtle, kind of nuanced one that's not seen constantly throughout Magic, but it would have fit, and it would have been a neat twist, considering Wilds of Eldraine was twists on more fairy tales, if only one segment of it had snow.
Yeah.
We probably are overdue. I'm looking at some of the Kaldheim cards right now, like Jorn, God of Winter, obviously a snow creature. So 2 and a green for a 3/3. And whenever Jorn attacks, you untap each snow permanent you control. Mm-hmm. I was digging around at, okay, how many snow cards are there? And it looks like they're around 100, maybe 106, including lands. I don't believe there are any snow sorceries or instants. There are enchantments, I know. Enchantments, mm-hmm. creatures, artifacts.
There are sorceries.
So there are. Oh, mm-hmm. yeah, Blood on the Snow. So there's at least enough to work with. And with Jorn being, what is he? He is blue, black, green. You could probably get enough in there to really work with a commander deck almost. But on the whole, I rarely find anyone playing snow-focused decks. I'll always see snow lands and people are just putting them in there because they like them.
That was one point I wanted to talk about today, that the most time I see people play snow is because they choose to play snow lands. Some people might have a purpose for playing them, but a lot of the times people, like a game purpose, I should say. A lot of the times people just use them because they like them better.
I love snow, so I'd play them just for the sake of that. Personal opinion, I haven't really found a snow land art that kind of jumps out at me, though.
It would be cool if they did more full art snow basics. I feel like we've been getting a lot of full art basics lately, and that would just mix it up a little bit to give us something different.
Maybe that's what we'll see in Modern Horizons 3 then.
Maybe. But I also wanted to touch on your point about, you know, there's not really enough snow stuff to really build a deck around. Yes, there's 100 cards, but the problem is they're not all the same colors. Mm-mm. So, you know, your list of cards to choose from shortens substantially, you know, once you've had to narrow down something into the colors you're using for your commander deck. I feel like other than basic lands, and even the non-basic lands, I feel like I see quite a bit of like Frostwalk Bastion I've seen a couple times. Dark Depths, of course.
That's the one I see more than anything. Mm-hmm. Or Morit of the Frost.
Yeah. I feel like occasionally I'll see a Cold Steel Heart, which is a snow artifact. It's just a mana rock, a 3-mana mana rock that is snow. And occasionally I'll see some of the Frost Fangs. But really, mm-hmm. other than that, I feel like I don't really see many of these cards, like you said.
Orin Frostfang is one that I see. I believe that's in the Fangbearer deck. Mm-hmm. That's a fun one for those unaware. Attacking creatures you control have death touch. You know, nothing to worry about. One that could kind of change the calculus in it, but it's costly. Looking at Cold Snap is Rhymefeather Owl. It's costly because it's 5/2 blue for a snow creature, bird, flying. Power and toughness are equal to the number of snow permanents in play, so you already have to have snow going. But for one and a snow, you can put an ice counter on a target permanent. It doesn't have to be one you control. Permanents with ice counters are snow. So you can turn things into snow, but at the same time, looking at card pool, I could see it as something you could use offensively with a few of the old Ice Age cards and turn things into snow-based targets for some of the snow hate cards. But looking at sort of anything that would be benefited by turning it into snow, nothing's really jumped out at me. And if you're already playing a snow deck to get to that, you've got at least a handful of things.
Yeah, there are a couple cards in the snow cards that are exceptions. For me, I have a Galadriel Scry deck, which deals mm-hmm. with scrying. So I have Merit Lodge's Slumber in there, mainly because it says when it or another snow permanent enters the battlefield, you scry one, and the whole point of my deck is to scry. Mm-hmm. And so I put all snow basics in there because of this card. Mm-hmm. I may never play this card in that deck. You know, I may be unlucky just to where it is in the deck. I never draw it, whatever. It never comes to my hand. But that is a reason why I have snow basics in that deck. And then the other one is Replicating Ring, which is a snow artifact, mainly because it deals with counters. So like any sort of proliferate deck, this actually is quite good because you can, you know, if you have enough ways to put counters on things, once you remove 8 knight counters from it, you create basically 8 snow artifact tokens that tap for a mana of any color. So it's kind of like a sneaky way to ramp.
I do like that card, and I think it's kind of wild when it goes off. Like, there are a few kind of scanning through that are interesting. Like, I just found Boreal Outrider. It's an uncommon snow creature elf warrior, 2 and a green. Whenever you cast a creature spell, if snow mana of any of that spell's colors was spent to cast it, that creature enters the battlefield with an additional 1/1 counter on. I'm thinking like Pauper EDH with that. You know, it's straightforward, it's simple, and if you just pack your mana base with snow covered forest, there you go. Counters and swing out.
Yeah, so There's some interesting cards, and I don't think we are going to have, obviously we don't have a full snow themed set this year, but I feel like Modern Horizons 3 is probably our best possible place for us to see any sort of snow this year.
I think you're right on that. The last, I guess apart from Kaldheim, before that it was Modern Horizons 1 where we saw it. Mm-hmm. It'd be neat to see a little bit extra in that. I mean, from a commander standpoint, there's really not much in the way of legendaries. There are only 5 legendary creatures. I believe all but one are blue, and the one outlier being Svella, Ice Shaper, and Gruul. Mm-hmm. And then we have Merith Lage's Slumber and Dark Depths to kind of round up for a total of 7.
Yeah.
One thing that was interesting when I was reading some stuff is that there were a lot of sort of unique rules on using snow in more limited formats with deck building, which I never would have thought of. Our listeners know that we're primarily kind of casual Commander players and dabble in other formats. But reading through some of the rules, it looked like when, for example, Modern Horizons 1 was out for draft or sealed, the only snow lands you could use were ones you opened in your pack. You couldn't pull them from a land station or bring your own, which I thought was both interesting, but also puts in a unique spin on how you're going to either draft your deck or leverage your sealed pool.
Yeah, you would have to consider if you're able to get those snow lands when you're drafting, as you're drafting, that could be risky, you know?
Mm-hmm. You'd have
so to... I feel like unless you're grabbing like a snow land up front first, then... Mm-hmm.
Or grabbing a snow permanent and hoping that something comes around.
See, that's the scary part. I don't know if I would take that risk. I think I would have to make sure I have a land in order to make the card useful. Because I feel like if people know that people can't play, you know, snow, things that require snow permanence without those lands, I feel like there might be some hate drafting happening if... Mm-hmm. You know, they don't necessarily need that, but it could take away from someone else's plan. So I feel like you need that land first before you do anything.
It's true. You need the resources before you can pay for the costs. Need the paycheck before you can go buy a box of the next set.
Exactly.
And it's kind of funny thinking about the lore that led to the Ice Age originally was the Brothers' War, you know, the war that keeps coming back. We saw it 2 years ago now, back in 2022, which is still wild to say. And we had another Silex that was going to be detonated almost. It was near chance to have another Ice Age.
Yeah, that's true. But that... I feel like we talked a little bit about this, that they're really diversifying their sets and we're seeing a lot of unique new places.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we still have, you know, places that we're visiting. Obviously, we were just in Ixalan and now we're going to Ravnica. So obviously there's some familiar places in there. But I mean, if you're looking at 2024, we're mostly going to places we haven't been before. So,
which is exciting. It's always nice to try new things. If you haven't listened to our end of the year, start of the year episode that dropped before this one, we talked a little bit about the very unique aspects of the sets coming out in 2024. How we're going to have, sure, we're going back to Ravnica, but we're having a murder mystery. And then we're kind of following the villains. We're going to get a bit of a Western vibe. We're going to have 2 Universes Beyond sets with both based off of video games with Fallout and Assassin's Creed, which we've already seen a few of the cards from Fall and they look fun. And I believe you're a little bit excited for some possible new Assassins with Assassin's Creed. That.
Yeah. So...
Then we end up shifting more with Bloomborough and some more horror.
We do. So I'm not sure where kind of, I don't know if I would consider snow a mechanic, but I don't know where we put, you know, these really kind of niche things.
Yeah, I was thinking today on this episode, and I think you put it best, like, is snow a mechanic? And I was thinking back to our first episodes looking at the flavor axe, and I was thinking, you know, what would snow's flavor be? And really, it's just a snow cone without anything poured on top of it.
Yeah. It's just kind of... Not that it's flavorless, but, you know, it's where quirky. Does it really fit in? Yeah. It's like adding water to something.
Mm-hmm.
Snow technically is water. So that is an interesting point.
It's very much the, you know, the snow cone, maybe, you know, base for a soup. You're going to have to add stuff to it. I don't know if you want to add anything too spicy because then it might all melt. I almost feel this could be an interesting challenge for a future Flavor Masters.
It could, yeah. Although we've seen that sometimes they bring back support for things that don't have that much support. I don't know how snow falls on people's priority list.
Falls.
Yeah, on their priority list, but because we do know so many people that really enjoy using those basic snow lands, I could see them putting it higher on the priority list just because people really like those basics.
I mean, the art on the ones that are out there are rather pretty. I'd be happy to see more of the basics, even if that's all we get is more snow basics for the people who love just a bit of winter year-round.
Yeah, I think they came out with basic snowlands in a secret lair more recently.
They did last year. It was so they did a pixelated one, it looks like, in 2021. And I don't know, what was it, Elk 64 is the artist, and they did snow-covered lands. And these are beautiful. If they weren't, you know, $6 each, I'd buy enough to fill out a whole deck.
I feel like that's also part of the reason why people pick the snowlands over the other lands, is because I feel like some people kind of see it as like a flex. You know, like, oh, I'm not going to put any basic lands in my deck. I'm putting snow basic lands in my deck.
Yeah. Oh, what are you going to do with those snow lands anyways? I'm just going to look at them.
Nothing. I'm going to tap them and use them as mana.
Yeah, because all it is it's just a mountain or a swamp or a plain island or forest with snow in the name and in the super type, but they all tap for the same.
Yeah. So I'm curious to see what they do with snow in the future.
Yeah, they might have to thaw off the mechanic or the form or the type, but it'd be interesting. What are some other sort of one-off concepts, we'll say, in Magic that you'd like to see again?
Ooh, you know, Gavin Verhey asked something similar to this on Twitter the other day.
I just remember seeing a lot of people responding with the mechanic they wanted brought back in the new year was banding.
Oh, a lot of people put banding. A lot of people put mutates.
Mutate would be fun to see more of. I did a little bit of drafting with a local group when I was getting back into Magic again, and they had Ikoria, and I thought mutate was kind of fun within those confines. I'd like to see more to be able to build something out of it, but it's still very much, there's not a lot out there.
Yeah, it looks like some of the other ones were energy, dredge, flashback, landfall.
Everyone loves landfall.
Landfall is where power creep happens. Someone said companion.
That could be interesting.
I've never really played companions, but Benji built me, my Secret Santa deck has Luris as the companion.
Aww.
And I was able to get Luris into my hand, but then someone played a card where I had to draw 7 new cards and I had to shuffle Luris into my deck. So I never actually got to play it, but you know, I feel like companions are so specific to what they do. They could do a lot more with it.
It'd be neat to see expanded companions because it makes you build your deck in a certain way, which I think is kind of fun and sort of a challenge, like almost a mini game that you play before you play the game.
Yeah. Someone else said more like partners.
Partners in the sense of partner with a certain person or... The general partners, and you can partner with any partner.
General partners. Because a lot of the partners we've seen lately have been specific. So
it would be nice to have that.
Another one I see is Eminence, which you have to be careful with.
Yeah, that I remember popping up. One I thought I saw originally was Connive.
Connive?
It was from Nuka Penna. And that was where you draw a card, discard a card, and then put a 1/1 counter if a non-land was discarded.
Yeah. I feel like that one is so new, though. And I don't know. I feel like we could do without another Connive for a while.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was at least a lot in there. Eminence would be, yeah, thinking back on your comment on Eminence, that could be an awkward one.
Yeah, they realized when they first did Eminence that it was a little too powerful. I think they fixed it a little bit with that one they came out more recently, the Night one that came out last year. I feel like they found a way to make it a little bit more fair, where it's still doing something from the command zone, but you really need the commander out on the battlefield in order to, like, make it. Because as someone who played a deck that had Eminence, I had an Arabo deck for the longest time.
Swole Cats.
Yeah, Swole Cats, which has actually now been transformed into Ginny Face Swole Cats. But I, like, never played Arabo. Like, I just left the cat in the command zone because it was so strong just sitting in the command zone. There was no reason for me to spend the mana to bring it out. So, and
that's how it is a lot of Markov players.
Markov, Ur-Dragon, like, it was just so strong that, like, they have to be really careful now. I think they did it fine with the knights. I don't think people are interested enough in knights for it to really, like, kick in, but...
And it was in white, blue, black, which...
was an interesting choice for that.
Yeah, it's nice to see blue coming back in with knights more in the past couple sets, but for a commander deck, because it was Siddhar Jabari of Zalfir, and it was one of the alternate face commander, I think, on that one deck, unless it was the main one, I can't remember. And it's really just, it's very limited in what you can kind of build if you want to keep it with knights in sort of a kindred build. You want to sprinkle in a little bit of red.
You know, I think they could do a lot more with companions. I know companions can be, like, way too super strong in other formats. And obviously our poor little baby otter boy, like, just
cutest got otter
destroyed. But justice for otters. But I feel like there's so much more they can do with companions, and
I mean, we did get doctor's, like, companions.
Yeah, we did get doctor's companions. They did it a little differently. Those are so specific, though. Like, they work with doctors. So, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing more of that. Like, either just, like, companions as, like, the companions we think about, or companions as in something similar to how they did Doctor's Companions.
And Doctor's Companion was kind of a nice mix of old and new partner.
Yeah. I wonder if they'll do something similar for Marvel.
Oh, that's a good point. And I started seeing that pop up a little bit more on Twitter today.
Because there's so many, like, side characters in Marvel that, like, are important to the plotline, similar to, like, the companions for Doctor Who, that they could be, like, sidekicks, you know? Like,
you know what it's going to be? Avengers Assemble.
Partner with an Avenger.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, it'd probably do something along those lines, and then find an equivalent for maybe villains. Yeah. You could do all your favorite or maybe team up.
Yeah, team up. So I feel like if there's, like, a concept I want to see more of, it's that. Because I feel like it adds a depth and element to the game that is flavorful.
It really expanded Doctor Who.
Yeah, but, you know, it also makes sets more interesting. Like we saw with Doctor Who, because of the companions, there were so many different ways to build decks. So many different ways to combine doctors with companions. And so it really gives players the ability to be creative and kind of cook something up for themselves.
Yeah, it's something to think about and keep an eye out for moving forward. And with that, I think we'll be seeing everyone next time for another episode. Been great having you in our kitchen.
Let us know if you have a favorite flavor on socials.
We can be found on Twitter, YouTube, and everywhere your favorite podcasts are served up.
Just search for Flavor Profiles.
Our music is by Cormac Bluestone.
Thank you for listening.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Nat.
Until next time.
Until next time. keep cooking magic.